Folks, welcome back to the iHealth channel, iHealth Radio, the EMBC network, the works, with a new show. And today's, again, the topic of healthcare, the one and only that is always going to be a topic of importance, because health is wealth, as a lot of people hear all the time and say all the time. Well, with me today, someone that's going to take us to a different concept in the healthcare, where we can mesh spirituality and medicine and wellness and all the other stuff. And we're going to talk about a lot of things in this particular discussion, because my expert is going to take us through a journey, and she does a lot of work to help people find themselves in a different setting, in a different place, get them healthier. And really, that's all we want. We want you to be healthy. We want everybody to be healthy. If we can achieve that, I think the world will be a happier and better place. So without any further ado, I have with me Dolores Fazzino. Dolores, Dr. Fazzino, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Hurricane. It's a pleasure to be here with you. And I love your platform and your message. And so thank you for really making a difference in the lives of other people.
Well, I'm only allowing this, you know, as a platform, but you guys are doing the work. I mean, you've been in healthcare. You stayed a long minute.
I started when I was 3 years old. No, I've been in healthcare for well over 45 years. And I am a nurse practitioner. I have a doctorate in nursing practice. And what that means is that a doctorate in nursing practice is the end educational tract of anybody who is a nurse practitioner, a clinical nurse specialist, a nurse anesthetist, or a nurse midwife. So we have the educational extra education to allow us to have a doctorate degree. So when I announce to my people or whatever, introduce myself, I usually say, I'm Dr. Dolores Fazzino, nurse practitioner. So people don't confuse me with being a medical doctor, because there's a lot of interesting dynamics around that. And, you know, we don't want to confuse people, but when we clearly state who we are and what we do, I think that just brings a lot more peace of mind to our clients and patients.
Well, thank you for that clarification. And I know just by experience, because one of the companies I've worked with, you know, years back, was one of the largest visiting nurses, you know, companies in the nation, in New York. And, you know, we've had a lot of NPs. And at the time, they had made that law where in order for you to be an NP level, you needed to go to PhD level and so on and so forth, because I think it was a master's degree first. So kind of changed at that point. But I've worked with a lot of, you know, NPs, and you're right. You know, we've had some doctors that were nurse practitioners, doctors in the system, and they were more like in the care management and, you know, the long-term care, you know, piece of it. So it was an interesting, you know, phase. So I'm familiar with it, but the, as you said, there's some dynamics between the MDs and the doctors in NP, you know, because there's that kind of, I don't know, it's competition, because you guys can write prescription, you can have your own practice. I mean, it's
a little
different.
Well, you know, I have this philosophy that there's plenty of room at my table for everybody.
Wait.
Okay. So the thing is, it's like they are all welcome. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't feel the same way, but that's on them. But, you know, so moving forward, it's kind of interesting, because I think in healthcare, so many interesting things are on the forefront. Whereas, you know, my expertise is bridging the physical with the spiritual and the invisible with the visible. Back 40 some odd years ago, that was considered quackery to the nth degree, where now it's more openly embraced and people are even integrating that more into mainstream medicine.
I'm going to refer to you as the quantum doctor.
I love that. I'm going to take that, the quantum doctor. I like that.
Well, really, because your realm is different. I mean, you're in a different, you know, platform or plane, rather, you know, of healthcare, you know, connection. But really, that's all there is. I mean, at the end of the day, healthcare is to make our, you know, health better, right? That's all there is. So whichever way we can get that, and we can get there, that would work. I mean, certainly, as you said, when we talked about the dynamics between the MDs, I mean, you guys spend enough time in the same facilities, in care management, you know, caring for people and treating people. And I think one of the first things that nurses start doing is ER work. And, you know, that's where all the work is pretty much done. Then you get into nurse surgery and you get into all these things and you learn over the years. Plus, yes, it's not the same degree. And I think it's different schools, and there's always that prestige. And I went to this school, you went to that school. This, you know, it's amazing how the world dynamics go. At the end of the day, if the mission is the same, we should all be, you know, a unit, and we work. And I've seen a good teamwork between MDs and nurses, and, you know, vice versa.
There's and I, you know, I've had the honor of being involved with that too. And it's just like, I've had the privilege of working with some of the most stellar people in my 45 years plus career as being in the healthcare industry. And, you know, it's very rewarding, and it's like the circles are smaller than you think, because you could know somebody that was, for me, I've had residents that they were in training when I was earlier in my career, and we moved cross country. So did they, and I'm working with them on the other coast. So you can't make this stuff up. It's just like, you know, it's almost like the right people kind of come together that are here to do the bigger picture. So you can't question that. But also, to me, I love the serendipity that I've really witnessed in my career and the unfolding of everything. Of, you know, sometimes you just don't know what your next step is when you're in the middle of things, but you just have that inkling faith and trust that you're just heading in, you're leaning into that one direction, you continue to lean into it, and, you know, the next step presents itself. I think we've all had pretty magical experiences like that. I think we're all, you know, the amazing manifestors and alchemists that we can create anything we want. In fact, I think it's already there for us. It's just learning how to raise your vibration and frequency to tap into it.
And quantum doctor, we're going to get deep. Yeah. but you know,
quantum doctor.
but it's really beautiful to hear that, because at the end of the day, I mean, the mission is to get people better.
Oh my God, yeah.
And that's all there is. And, you know, certainly there's a lot of ways to do that. And, you know, I mean, I'm not a medical person, you know, yet I touch a lot of lives over my 30 years in at least the insurance space. And, you know, and I am proud of it. Now, someone can say, well, insurance, ooh, spooky. Well, I mean, there's insurance. And, you know, insurance only helps pay for stuff. But I am on the government programs. And right, so it's all subsidized by the government. So it's a different regulatory, you know, environment. It's a whole different thing. It's all about care management, so on and so forth. Of course, there is authorization and referrals and stuff, but that's been removed, you know, and there's a lot of reductions of that, you know, over the years, and it's different. And it's really about making people healthier. I mean, at the end of the day, an insurer would want everyone on their portfolio to be healthier and better, because they will pay less, right? So I always make a joke about that. So why not, right?
Why not? You know, and it's just like, oh, let's make it a win-win for everybody around, you know? And you know, one thing, Hurricane, that I found throughout my career is that, you know, I think Western medicine is really good at taking care of acute problems, but the chronic stuff, they're not so good at doing. And, you know, just let me elaborate a little bit. I feel that the medical model that we currently have, if you can imagine a pie, okay, visualize a pie in the middle, the pie hole, and the middle is like health, or is, you know, like medications, surgery, whatever, and anything that's complementary alternative is on the periphery. And their health, definition of health and wellness, how you get there is by prescribing a procedure, giving a pill, or doing, you know, some type of study. And what is really sad is that we are only addressing in Western medicine the physical. Rarely, if ever, do we look at underneath the hood of where the emotions, whether or not you experience them or not, or you stuff them, whatever. Your thoughts, what you say to yourself in the quiet of your mind. Some of us are not so kind to ourselves. We say some really gnarly things and we beat ourselves up, right? Also, our connectedness to our body. A lot of people are disconnected from their physical body. What I mean, they're in their heads all the time, thinking and worrying instead of being in their bodies, being in the present moment. When you're in your body, you're in the present moment. When you're in your head, you're worrying about yesterday, contemplating tomorrow, trying to figure it out. It's the ego thing trying to, and you're rarely in the present moment. Did you know that in order to feel your emotions, you have to be in your physical body?
Well, I do.
I know. But you're right.
That's a great question. I mean, for whoever watching and listening, I mean, ask the question to yourselves. I mean, listen to this question. Like, answer.
So the thing is, a dead giveaway, if somebody is not in their body, when you ask them how they're feeling, when they say, I think I feel. What the heck is I think I feel? That's like intellectualizing your emotions. So it's like you're intellectualizing something that is, if you were in your body, you would have that full on expression and experience. Now, unfortunately, our society here in the Western world really kind of poo-poos the whole idea of experiencing your emotions. We've been taught, many of us, especially my generation, I'm in my mid-60s, that you're not allowed to feel, okay? And ignore it, it'll go away. I know that was my mom's MO, and I'm a product of the 60s, but I was pretty much awake, meaning that I was aware of a lot of things at a very young age. And I used to tell my mother, when I ignore it, Mom, it's getting bigger. It's not going away. So the thing is, it's like, you know, I couldn't handle that. So, you know, many of us found other outlets. For me, I decided I was going to channel my emotion through music. Some people have done it through art and whatever. So that was my survival technique, because when you're a sensitive person, like, and you're an empath, intuitive, or highly sensitive person, you feel things at a very deep level. And I felt like I was a fish out of water in my childhood and my young adulthood, because I felt things so deeply, in contrast to what we were being told to do, like ignore it and pretend it's not there. So it's really interesting to watch the metamorphosis shift over the decades. So now we know that experiencing your emotions is a necessity, because when you don't, it's like a ball of energy. An emotion is an energy, okay? Everything is energy. It is. The emotion is like an invisible ball of energy. So when you don't deal with it, where does it go? It's got to go someplace. So it kind of hangs out in your energy field. And then eventually, when there's just no more room, guess what? It topples into your physical body and starts raising hell in a handbasket and creating some health challenges for you. We know that.
Well, there's quite a bit there. So let me just touch on a few things that you covered. First of all, thank you for giving that descriptive about how our healthcare in the Western world looks like, because that's right on point. I mean, that's really a bullseye. I mean, you said, you know, that's really what it is. The concept of us really focusing on when you're sick, we got solutions for you when you're sick. But we are not doing anything to prevent you from getting sick, you know, because that, to your point, I mean, there's so much stuff that you can do not to get to that point. And sadly, that we are getting more into that point where everybody's getting sick. No one knows. Even in diagnosis, sometimes it's missed, you know, and you don't get it right. Or you do a bunch of tests and there's a lot of stuff that's similar. And you might just, you know, get one diagnosis versus the other. Some people get 2-3 opinions before they can figure it out. Sometimes years later, they figure out that it's got nothing to what they were. Now you're in a series of drugs and stuff that you are taking that are also destroying your body somehow. But you're right. You know, it's just that we're not, maybe it's designed that way because, you know, there is a lucrative aspect of this business, you know, and I think that's really where we are today versus where we were like 4 decades, 5 decades ago.
I totally agree with you on that. I have found through my experience being in healthcare for 45 years, and I've been in the clinical setting for the entire time. I only work now part-time as an assistant surgeon. I assist in surgical procedures, and I've been doing that type of work for the last 30 years on all different kinds of surgeries. What I have found is that, why is it patients would come in, have a surgery to remove a cancer, they go through their chemo and radiation, they're fine for a little while, and then they come back 2 to 3 years later with another recurrence? That to me was my pivotal point in my career, because I felt like we're doing people a huge disservice. because we're just skating over the top and not really taking a deep dive as to why that created for itself. Okay. And when we take that deeper dive and going into like looking at your connectedness to yourself, how you handle stress, how you cope with things, how you handle your emotions if you ever experience them, or, you know, how you, your beliefs and your thought processes, that is all like underneath the tip of the iceberg. The tip of the iceberg is the physical part. The under part of the iceberg is all of that that I just mentioned. And, you know, many of us are products of our environment. We also have the ancestral lineage that comes through in our gene pool, but also the, you know, the other not so good things that have happened, that have, you know, people have experienced all sorts of traumas and PTSD and stuff like that. So that all comes into play as well. So when we need to look at things differently and treat each patient as an individual, and let me elaborate on that. I think Western medicine has this way of treating a disease like humanity is one type of fruit in a fruit salad. It's like you have humanity that is, you know, grapes and kiwi and strawberries and peaches and apples in this fruit salad. Okay. Everything is different. Everybody's different, a different fruit. And they try to change all of that into an apple. Now, that's a problem. You understand? You see the visual on that? How the person got to the point with the disease could be way different from person to person to person. So what we need to do is, yes, this is the end product for a lot of different other problems that people create for themselves, be it the emotional, mental, spiritual, ancestral, or even dimensional, if you want to talk quantum-y a little bit. But it's like all this stuff plays a part into that creation. So in order to heal somebody at the core, we need to address what's going on underneath that iceberg, so this person doesn't have to come in for a third time to have another recurrence if they're still alive.
You know, I mean, listen to you. You got it. This is exactly what the problem is. But you know, again, we go back to that concept of money. You know, if you know, it's sad, but it's all industries and for the most part now. If you make something durable, you know, you're basically going to die out as an industry or as a business, right? You want something that is refurbishable in the short term, like something that doesn't last long, so we can come back and get more, and so we can make some more money. And again, I'd hate to focus on that. You know, I mean, certainly from an insurance space, that's not what we want. But from a personal space and just an individual, you know, it's sad to hear because this is all tied into a lot of different things. I mean, healthcare is also affected by a lot of other things, right? I mean, there is the pharma, you know, world, there's the industry, food industries, there is the farmers industry, which is all tied into the food. And there's many things, right? But then there's environmental stuff. All these things are happening, and it all, you know, one ties in, there's politics involved in this. You know, it's bigger than one can even conceive. But you're right, the roots are the same. I love what you said, that you're right. We are so different genetically. I mean, 1%, a clone, I mean, a twin is different from their twin, you know, let alone everybody else. You know, your parents and you are, you might have some genes that have some connection. Obviously, we come from our trees, you know, our family trees, and there's the genetic, you know, genomes that are shared by all of us. But it doesn't matter. There's different, you know, aspects. And even if you have the same thing, the environments can be different. You're exposed to radiation, someone is not, that's a problem. Someone is exposed to poison is different than someone that's not. Someone that's living in a farm eating, or, you know, real food from the ground that is fresh versus someone that's getting, you know, packaged food, you know, and a can. So that's going to change. And that's not even talking about other environment, as you said, the mental piece. The mental piece is a big piece. And you're right. 4 decades, 5 decades ago, you know, mental was taboo. I mean, you cannot.
Oh, gosh.
We've covered this over and over in a few shows. It is a word. Like when you say, like, I got mental issues. Not you. Listen, I grew up. I mean, I'm in the 70s. Like I was born in the 70s. Yeah, so yeah, same yeah, thing. Yeah. Same concept, really. It, you know, you just swallow your pride. You know, you take it, you know, like a man, as you know, at least for me, and that's it. You know, you just like be who you are and move on, grow up, you know. And I even grew up that way. And believe it or not, I'm guilty as charged. I've shared that with my own kids at a point where you had to, you know, you had that same learning. And then you realize that's not really what it is, because, you know, this is very important. I mean, this and this connected. I mean, the mind, and I'm not talking the brain. The brain as a physical aspect, that's one thing. But the mental aspect of it, people forget. And yes, it's real. And everything that is around you can affect you, from your school system to your society to your news to your, whatever you're being exposed to, your family, your relationships. All that affects how you behave, how you this. And you're right, the stress, your job can be stressful, everything. And that stress, like, and you're right, you said something powerful that we know today, things we didn't know then. And stress does have an actual physical aspect, and it does create, you know, different things in your ulcers, cancer, all this stuff can be, you know, tracked back to some of these things, because there are studies that have proven these things real. So it's not, you know, hokey pokey stuff that we're talking about, or like, you know, some magical discussion we have. It's truly science, you know, facts that you're addressing, Dolores. And it is real. And you're right. We are also energy beings. And that's the other thing.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to talk more about that, because just so people could really get a good concept of what energy is. When you know, I know we're on a radio show, so we're probably talking, they could hear us, but I could see you right now. And so you're a physical demonstration of energy. You're a denser form of what energy is. Everything in my background and myself is a more denser form of energy, okay? But it still has a frequency and vibration. Now, our thoughts, our beliefs, our connectedness to ourself, our ancestral lineage, our, you know, dimensional stuff, those are more like radio waves. We can't see those, but they have frequency and energy attached. Now, words, for example, have an energy and frequency to them as well. Some words vibrate higher than others, and some are not so vibrating higher. So I'm just going to give an example. When people say things to themselves, okay, they label themselves, you know, I'm not good enough, or I'm not pretty enough, or I'll never amount to anything. Sometimes we say some not so nice things to ourselves. There was a scientist by the name of Dr. Masaru Emoto. He was a Japanese scientist, and he studied water. And he would label water containers with words like love, peace, harmony, war, I hate you. Fast freeze them, and then look under a microscope and look at the crystalline formation. So, of course, those labeled with love, appreciation, beauty were these beautiful symmetrical snowflakes. And the ones that were labeled with war, I hate you, were like fragmented and distorted. Now, knowing that, labeling water, this vessel that we house ourselves in is at least 75% water. What do you think we are doing when we say those things to ourselves? We're labeling this vessel of water. And so that vessel of water is going to take on that energy of that vibration of that word, and it's going to start changing your body chemistry. So this is important, that what you say to yourself in the quiet of your mind, be aware of it. This is something you could shift very easily within yourself. It's like instead of saying, you know, I'm not good enough, I am perfect the way I am. I love myself. I appreciate myself. Those are little things people could do to shift that.
Well, thank you, Doc. And, you know, it's interesting because I actually heard about that study before. And you're right. It is amazing because the water does change. And I think there was another experiment similar where the color turned, you know, like literally, you know, different on the waters, you know, or like water spoiled versus the other water that actually was treated nicely with the beautiful words. So, I mean, there are differences. And actually, there is a show that it's on the network from one of the podcasts, you know, the Joel Evans show. And there's this guest who actually literally, you know, I mean, that show is dedicated to like living waters. And mm-hmm. and really, I mean, the water is alive. I mean, they did some studies and some real intricate stuff and big, you know, like deep dive into the water. And it actually does have a reaction to different things. And it's proven scientifically. So there's not even a doubt about it. And so what you hit it on is just that. But you're right. We say things, you know, to ourselves and to people that you know, that are sometimes literally just not responsible, because I think, and listen, I think we all made the mistake one in our lives, you know, to a degree, until you're aware. Because I think that's the thing. Most of us are not aware of these things until you're aware. Sometimes
that's right.
Early on, sometimes you're early on, sometimes you're later on, but better late than never. But the fact is, you know, if we can prevent folks, you know, that are fresh in this world, you know, to not get into that mistake, either on themselves or talking to other people, you know, the wrong way, there you have it. I think that will have a great, you know, outcome from this show. But the fact is, you're right. This is important that we say things. And by the way, I think there are studies that also state that the mind doesn't know the difference. You know, whatever you tell it to, it's just going to take it for what it's worth. I mean, you could be joking and still takes it like, you know, it's not a joke, it's real. And so, So that could be, that's just, you know, crazy. And I love what you said about everything is vibration, frequency, energy. And that is physics 101. I mean, again, we're all electrons, protons, and nuclear, quarks, you know, literally. I mean, that's what we are. We're stardust, as they call it, right? Mm-hmm. And all energy and physics speaking, you know, physically speaking, we are empty. I mean, it's all, you know, air and just atoms and stuff floating around. So you're right. We are, this is a manifestation, you know, and a projection of that energy, as you said, in this particular realm. And so again, this is where we get a little deep dive and people go like, whoa, these guys are going to the left side.
But you know what? I have something that I could add that may actually give them something to bite onto and really grasp. How many of us have friends and family that live like thousands of miles away? Okay. Or you haven't talked to somebody that in years, and all of a sudden they pop into your mind. And then the next minute, you know, the next day or so, you get a phone call from them.
Oh, that's happens all the time.
This is how energy works. It's that fast and that quick. Okay. What? Cause it's waves and frequencies.
You know, again, so we are caught into the seen world or the obvious world or the physical world. But really, the physical world is just... See, there is a documentary. I love that documentary. I saw it like years back. It's called Matter, the Other Name for Illusion. Well, that's the book. The documentary was actually called The Secret Beyond Matter. And, you know, this guy, I mean, it's got a religious aspect to it. But really, I was more impressed about the science, because when you start thinking about it, I mean, we experience this world through our senses. Now, actually, I used to challenge people and say this. If we take you right now and I put a visor on you, and by the way, this actually everybody can relate to. If you've been to a 3D or 4D movie, you know, mm-hmm. you probably experienced, you know, the emotions and the scare and stuff, right? If you get into an IMAX theater with a 3D, you know, version of it, you will feel like literally you're there. You get dizzy.
You feel the emotion.
You're really into that reality. And that's exactly what happens. If you're in virtual reality, it happens.
Oh my God. I have a funny story to tell you, because I get motion sick so easily that I was in an IMAX theater once, and it was down in Disney World, and I'm leaning back and it's going on.
Simpsons?
I got sick. I had to lie down on the floor. Seriously. That's how real it was. Even though I'm standing there, it was just crazy. So I totally understand that.
It does. It's amazing. Yeah. I've experienced it many years. I mean, I love VR. I love IMAX stuff. But you know, you can explain at least the physical and the non-physical, because your mind, I always refer to it as the Greeks did, you know, the ghost behind the machine, your soul, your spirit, whatever, right. Whatever is running this avatar, right? So the avatar is here. And really, this is like almost the ultimate, you know, virtual reality concept, you know, body, right? So that's all there is. I mean, somebody is running the show here, and this is how you manifest into this world. And, you know, and again, and another way to look at it, and again, this is when people get like, oh, this guy's completely woo-woo. Well, when you go to sleep and you dream, right, you have no control of your destination. You have no, You can. I mean, how many of you have been on in dreaming and you were flying, or you were in a different country, or you were literally having a family and doing different things, and all of a sudden you snap and you're back into this world, you know? And so you basically go back and forth into different realities in essence through this avatar. But when you go to that world, you see yourself different. You're literally. Yep. I have recollections of different dreams. Yep. That you would literally see yourself that you don't look the same, but you. Yep. Know it's you. And so, yep. But these are, by the way. If you watch any stuff, you don't have to take my word for it. Just reflect on it. Literally, just wake up a couple of days later after dreams and try to analyze them, and you'll be surprised what you're going to see and hear, because you'll be like, "What? Well, damn, this is real." And that's really it.
No, and I totally agree with what you're saying, Hurricane. Because yes, I kind of feel what happens when we sleep, and this is from my own personal experience and what I've witnessed is we astral travel. Okay. So it's just like, we kind of leave our body. We're still connected, but we go into the other realms and we reconnect with a lot of different things. We are just us here on earth, our soul. We are just a fragment of our master soul here in this reality. We could be living in other realities as another soul and still have a master soul, and they're all little fractures of what this big soul is. I know that's a little stretch for some people, but it is it's the truth that I know, and I know what I know. So
well Doc, again, you know, people don't have to take it from us, but they just have to experience. Yeah. It on themselves, and it's very
absolutely
simple.
You just have to
reflect on it. Again, I've challenged people, you know, another thing that's really real is time, right? I mean, real, but relative, right? So, yeah. So that's the thing. You know, if you put two people in two rooms, right, and you don't give them a clock, you know, and they spend a certain amount of time there and they come out, you can tell them how much time you spend there. They will never know. You can tell them you spent 5 hours and it could have been 5 minutes, and vice versa. And they would not know the difference, because that's all there is. If you sleep and wake, as you said, you go back and forth in your dreams, right? But really, you know, you are encountering other people. You're connecting with, you know, with different things, and you come back and you do this over and over and over, just to show you that there is more to this world than what we think. And right. And frankly, it is a design that is beautiful. When you start thinking about these things, you experience the world just how it is. I mean, you know, we have Meta now, virtual realities, right? You can literally interact with people without moving from anywhere, right? Well, just think about this as the biggest potential concept that there is, and it's just beyond our imagination. We can't comprehend it, but it doesn't mean it's not real. It's not happening that way. And, you know, again, relative to time is real. I mean, you know, we can travel, you know, in the speed of light. You know, the two of us can be the same age, and there's a whole, you know, concept where the one that travels in the speed or near speed of light will probably be younger than the one that is actually on this planet. There's so many things we don't understand, but physics and science can clearly, you know, show us those facts. And it's fascinating to hear these things, but it takes people of opening up. You know, you got to really just kind of listen. And by the way, again, reflect. You know, most of us wake up and just do the routine.
So important. And, you know, I want to say something in regards to the whole reflection part. You know, we mentioned about, you know, people waking up and awakening. Okay. I think we're witnessing a lot of our population waking up. What I mean by that, what had been working for them up until a certain point is no longer working. And they're in an uncharted water where there's no reference point on how to make it work again. Okay. So what that is also, it's like moving from the external to waking up and realizing that you're a real spiritual being, and it's about you having that relationship with yourself. Because this is where you're going to get that wisdom and knowledge, and this is where you're going to get the information that's right for you, not your neighbor, not your spouse, not your children, but for you.
You know, Doctor, it's funny. I'm listening to you. And, you know, I do make this reference quite a bit of times, which is the Matrix, right? The Matrix is real. And you know what? You just got to look at it. If you watch that movie, The Matrix, and just take a minute to kind of comprehend it a little bit and see like the whole concept, it's not very far-fetched, the whole thing. Now, it's different. Obviously, it's a movie, it's a step. But if you start looking at the science and the whole thing, you start seeing things. And you're right, there is a whole new wave of the awakening today where people are aware. And that there's some of it that comes with time as you become a little bit more wiser, or at least, you know, life kind of, you know, gives you a little bit to reflect on. And you realize, like, you know, why am I doing this certain way? There's better ways. You know, why am I beating myself up? I could do better than this. And you're right. Like, you start respecting yourself. You start reflecting and becoming a better person to yourself. And then you touch people.
You start taking your power back.
I love that. See? Yeah. well, let's talk about that. I mean, really, sure. You know, is the power lost or it's always been there?
Well, it's always been there. And I feel that a lot of times people unconsciously give their power away to other things, be it outside of themselves, you know, their job, their relationship, their family. And, you know, I know we see this a lot in healthcare. A lot of people give their power away to heal to the doctor. Okay. The doctor has all the answers. Well, newsflash, everybody, they don't. You've lived in your Taj Mahal your whole entire life. If you're connected to yourself, you have that innate wisdom within you that's going to guide you to your next steps. Because you could be feeling one way, classic example, you feel like, okay, something's off. You don't know what it is. So you kind of go to the doctor to have them try to figure this out. And the doctor says, oh, you know, there's nothing wrong with you and stuff like that. But you still feel something's off. Always trust the information you're getting, because sometimes they've only seen you for like 5 minutes. They don't know you. You've lived in your whole, you know, your body your entire life. Also, if you know something is without a doubt your truth, okay, like the doctor says, we need to put you on this medication for X, Y, and Z, and you're really feeling like, no, I shouldn't do it. Please listen to yourself. Because you know what? It's like your inner guidance system is warning you to pay attention and not do something. Because maybe if you decided to do that, this medication might have some side effects and might kill you. You don't know. But always trust yourself in the information you're getting, even though it's contrary to what you're being told externally.
Well, thank you. And you know, you bring up a super point, because at the end of the day, and this is true, everybody watching and listening, if you're going to a doctor, you know, they ask you, like, you know, what are your, you know, like you fill out a survey and you get pretty much everything that you know. They ask you a few questions. They check your pulse. They check your temperature and basic stuff. And then they'll start analyzing whatever you have, whatever you say based on your, you know, and sometimes you can state things wrong. And that can also be part of that acceptance of information, right? And so, it, you know, now they do some blood work, they might do some x-rays, the CAT scans, and all kind of stuff before they can determine what it is, but they can't figure out on the time. Now, of course, some doctors with expertise, some light stuff they can figure out immediately just based on your immediate, you know, symptoms and things like that. But again, this goes back to that discussion of earlier, where even if they did, they're going to fix that problem that's in front of them. But where did you get that problem? That's another story. How can you prevent it from coming back? That's another story. They might not be able to do that for you. They'll tell you, here's how we can fix this current situation, as you said, you know, the acute stuff, but not the chronic business. And that's really the big deal. You know, and one thing, by the way, just, you know, I wanted to touch on earlier from the discussion was, you know, it is true. If you experience something in sleep, you know, there have been studies where people actually have bruises, they have, you know, things that actually manifest in the physical body, but they were experiencing things that are not actually literally, they were completely sleeping, and they can check the wave, the brain waves and all the stuff. And next thing you know, these people are really intense, you know, bruises and things like that. They basically were fighting, and now you have, you know, the outcome of a fight. You know, these things are happening for real. I mean, you know, sometimes people feel choked, you know, and stuff, and it happens, and you feel
or
that.
Sometimes you wake up and you know you slept 8 hours and you're exhausted.
That's true. Or sweating. So
you,
or,
Oh, yeah. So sometimes, you know, I kind of have this philosophy that many of us go and we're in service on the other side to helping out. So we're doing like, you know, whatever we're doing. It's like we're having two jobs, even though we're asleep. And then we come back and we're just like, God, what the heck happened last night? I'm exhausted.
Here's where I throw people off. What if this whole thing that we're having right now is just a dream? This is not real, folks. Oops.
You know what? It could be very much true.
We have no way of knowing, right? I mean, there's a way, you know, to know whether you're dreaming or not. Typically, is you're coming back to the same point, you know, and the same familiar scene, right? So you come back to your bedroom, same people, same everybody. Nobody's calling you a different name. Then you know that you're back. But the fact is, it is very, you know, difficult from a science. It's you know, there's discussions of a multiverse. There's as you said, different worlds. I mean, there's spirituality, there's all that. But you said something also powerful about being intuitive, like follow your intuition, your gut feeling. If you feel something and you know your body better. And by the way, I just experienced that with my mother. She was in the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, the doctors are coming in, the nurses are coming in, but they don't know her. I mean, I was with her and they see what they see. And I know how she is. And I know that they're missing some things about her because they don't get what she's really about and how she behaves and certain things. And they cannot get that from a visit or even a night at the hospital or a couple of nights, because you may not be able to reflect to them or share with them exactly your whole thing. So you know that better, as you said. You know, we have control to a degree to things.
No, well, it's so true. And so, you know, my goal and what I do, I coach people and train them and stuff like that, is to teach them how to trust that little voice within themselves. Because we've given that away to something outside of ourselves. We've been told, you know, that, oh, you can't believe that because you have to think it out and all this other stuff. Well, no, it's part of being in your body. When you're in your body, you're in the present moment. When you're in the present moment, you experience your emotions. When you're in the present moment, you're able to connect. You have an open, more open channel to wisdom that's within yourself that everybody has. It's your innate powers and stuff. And so a lot of times we've been told that that's not real and stuff like that. But the illusion is that what's out here is not real. This is real within here.
Well, again, this is your vessel, right? This is the vehicle. this is everything. Now you have you talk about energy medicine.
Yes.
So what is that, you know, for our audiences?
What is that? Okay. So, you know, that everything is energy, right? Mm-hmm. So it's about, for me, one of my talents and gifts is that I'm very fluent in reading energy. What that means is that somebody will start talking and I could pretty much figure out what the issues are going on, where the blockages are, where the emotions that are not expressed, you know, if a person's connected to themselves or not. And I actually help people shift that within themselves. I don't do that for them. I teach them how to do that because I'm all about teaching people how to heal themselves and not having to go back to the healer, you know, or the doctor. It's just like, these are things that you could do that you can shift your energy because everything is energy. For an example, would you mind if I played with you for a moment?
For it. I'm yours.
Oh, good. Okay.
Good thing.
I appreciate it. So what I want to ask you is there something, so a lot of times when people have aches in their body, do you have any aches in your body right now? Okay, so I want you to focus on that area, okay? And just tell me, is it feeling constrictive or expansive?
Constrictive.
Constrictive?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and is it in this area by chance?
No.
No, okay. The next place I'm getting is your back, so...
My back, yeah.
Yep, okay. So, and it's actually not your lower back. It's actually like between your waist and your neck, shoulders, yep. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Okay. So that heart thing. So, all right. So what I want to do with you is just, I want you to focus on that area and just close your eyes, because what I'm going to share with you, as you're closing your eyes and we're walking through this, kind of explains things a little bit. Oftentimes when we have emotions, we're experiencing emotions, they kind of show up in our physical body as a pain, because there's always a somatic response to an emotion. And a lot of times they get trapped there. So what I'm going to ask you, a couple of questions. Do you feel like you have a lot of burdens that you're carrying right now?
Yep.
Okay. And I'm also feeling too, it's like some of them aren't even yours and you're carrying them.
That is true.
Okay.
All right.
So I'm feeling like there's a little bit of resentment too. Okay. Just a little bit. Okay. Because you have to shoulder the burden of this. So what I want to do right now is, like, in that area, your upper chest and your back, is just send so much love and appreciation to those areas right now. And if you're not a visualized type of person, just imagine pink, the color pink. Okay. Because pink is the color of unconditional love and acceptance. And a lot of times when we have pains in our body, there's somatic responses. What's happening now is just the tip of the iceberg of something deeper. I'm just letting you know, because you've probably been the responsible type your whole entire life and felt like you had to take care of everybody else and put everybody else first and you second. So right now, I just want you to continue to love and appreciate that and acknowledge and thank this somatic response you're having for all the gifts that it's given you, because it has given you a lot of wisdom and a lot of gifts. And just allow it to continue to absorb all that beautiful pink love and light. And just take a deep breath and exhale. All right. It moved someplace. Where did it move to?
Just not there.
That's even better. Sometimes what happens, okay, when things happen to us earlier in our life, part of our soul gets fractured off and gets kind of time locked, landlocked in another dimension. And even though it's still there, it's energy, okay? And it's kind of unconsciously running the show. So see, as time progresses, how things are carrying out for you, because a lot of times the things that trigger us now, the superficial stuff, is usually the deeper stuff that is just coming from unconsciousness to consciousness, so it could be moving its way out. It's like coming from unawareness to awareness, so now we could do something with it and change it. Calling back our parts allows us to reacquaint ourselves with a part or an aspect of ourselves that has kind of been missing for a little bit. So what happens also is you're going to get more of your energy back, more of your power back, and you're going to be more, you know, you'll probably stand up a little taller too because of that, because your power is coming back to you.
Well, I love it, actually. And you hit it on the money. I mean, folks, it's not a joke. I mean, you got it. I mean, there are certain things that, you know, been carrying, and things that happened in the last couple of years, and things that are happening now. I mean, my mom's been, for example, you know, sick, and, you know, been taking care of that, and it's taking a toll on everything. The business is part of it. I mean, there's many things. So you
I know.
You
can, and
you hit it.
And Hurricane, the other thing to remember too, you're going through this, and a lot of other people are as well, because we're at like a pivotal point in humanity's evolution where we're clearing out old patterns and beliefs and stuff that are no longer aligned with who we are. And it's actually taking parts of us back from different times and places so we could become complete and whole within ourselves and more fully present in our bodies.
Well, so doctor, one thing, I mean, whatever we gone through right now, I mean, it's close enough to hypnosis. Was there some hypnosis factor there, or is that something
you know
that
what?
you practice as well?
I don't know. I kind of do that, but it's just like sometimes it's just the channeling from my voice and the information that comes through that does that. Because we're thousands of miles away. You're in New Jersey. I'm actually in California. So for that to be as effective as it was, you felt that. So you know.
Well,
that's how energy works.
but you're right. And by the way, it never fails. I mean, I've had literally live hypnosis on this stage with you know, and that stuff is real. And I've actually done hypnosis many times. And, you know, at first I was always skeptical about it until I tried it and I know it works. And, you know, I welcome it anytime. If I get someone that's willing to work on me and give me some, but it reboosts. I mean, it kind of dilutes itself a little bit. So you got to keep up with it. But again, it's, by the way, what you said about us talking about ourselves and to ourselves, you know, within our mind, that is self-hypnosis. And we can control ourselves in the good way or bad way. So whatever we say, it's going to be in that subconscious, and the rest is history. And your mind is just going to be, and that's that we hear mindset in business and in reality, but really the mindset is just, how do we look at things? We start thinking negative at everything. Well, everything is negative. Everything is dark.
And the thing is, whatever you focus on now is going to create before the thought process is finished. So that's how fast manifestation is happening. So when people say, oh, I'm not a good creator. Well, yes, you are. Everything that you see in your life, you've created. Something to ponder.
Well, we you know, like my dear colleague, you know, and co-host of a different show, his main thing is believe and achieve. If you believe, you achieve. And really, you know, I'm just going to give some salutation and greetings here to John C. Morley. Hey, man, we'll be talking soon in our show. But really, it's a powerful concept. When whatever you believe in, you're going to be able to manifest. And you keep saying positive things. And by the way, this is not just, you know, Hurricane and Dr. Fazzino talking about this. This is real, and people are talking about it. If you search all the experts in the matter, you'll hear the same over and over, and all the motivational speakers out there and the big guys that are, you know, and a lot of TEDx talks, you know, they have these discussions. It's real, and it's experts one-on-one. Mental health, you know, specialists will talk about it. Dr. Haim, who is our, you know, mental health specialist doctor on the network, he's always stating some of these things, and it's real stuff. And we just need to absorb that, as you said, absorb it as energy, and you work with it. Like, and by the way, it changes the dynamics. You know, if you wake up in the morning and say, and a lot of doctors will tell you, wake up in the morning and say good things to yourself. You know, I look good, mm-hmm. I feel good and stuff, and your day is going to be brighter. And you say, oh my God, it's depressing, it's this, it's that. You already doomed your day.
Well, you have. And the other thing, you know, take that a step further. You know, oftentimes people forget that they're manifestors and creators, and they may see something that's being mirrored back to them on the outside. Say, you know, they're being triggered by something and they're like, oh my God, you know, it's just like, I don't even want to see that. It's important to not react. It's we have to remember that it's not about reacting to something, it's being proactive. So instead of reacting, I invite people to witness and observe what's going on, because that's where you could make a more conscious choice instead of a reactive response.
Well, doctor, you mentioned earlier empath and intuitive.
Yes.
Right? Now, so question for you. So, I mean, are we all capable of being empaths and empathy, or is that a special, you know, thing for some people, not the others? Because some people may like, I don't feel anything for anyone. I don't care, and including myself, which there is a diagnosis for that. I mean, sometimes, you know, and if someone sees someone as special as, they're probably going to give them why it's happening, why they think that way. I mean, I'm not going to judge, but, you know, I've had enough discussions about it to know that there is, when you think that you're not something that you can be, there's way to fix that, right? But, you know, for our audiences, in your experience, how do you tackle that?
You know, what's interesting, Hurricane, I think everybody has that capability. It's like it's a continuum. Either it's highly developed or very little developed. And everybody lies along that ley line someplace. So I think everybody has that capability. And maybe in this lifetime, you need to learn how not to be that way. Because it's all, we're always learning life lessons. You know, we come to the planet Earth to get our PhD in being human. And like we come with, you know, like a card of, you know, a hand of cards that we play in this lifetime. And these are like the things that are going to allow our soul to grow at the most profound and deep level. And, you know, we're always trying to trade our hand with our neighbors or somebody else's because theirs looks better. But this was like divinely guided and designed for you. So it's how you do, you know, what you do with this. You could either, you know, look at it half empty or half full. It's like how you, what you do with it. So the thing is, it could be maybe it's your gift in this lifetime to be an empath. So you're going to have lots of empathic experiences and stuff like that. Maybe in this lifetime, you need to learn to be more selfish because there's growth opportunities and, you know, golden nuggets that you'll learn for your soul's growth on that too. Everything is just so, you know, it's like a divine tapestry that is interwoven and we're all part of it. And everybody's doing their own journey. And, you know, sometimes people have other opinions about other people's journeys and, you know, they got to stay in their lane.
Well, you know, thank you for staying in there because, you know, I have a, well, not a theory. I believe in this is that, you know, we all interact. Imagine this is a universe. It is a universe, but imagine that we all, you know, like a stage, right? In an act. And we all have our own roles in that big act. And we all come in and perform our act, you know, for the period of time that we designed to be on that stage. And so we come in, we experience it based on our way, our avatar, and our cards, you know, like whatever we were dealt. And whatever we use, you know, to manifest and to, you know, to approach this reality that we are in the stage and how we interact with everybody is really just part of the design of it. And that's all. So, you know, I'm seeing the world my way, you're seeing the world your way, and so on and so forth. And frankly, as you said, you know, first of all, who cares what the others, because their life, as you said, their hands is different from yours, you know, and you're right. It might look good from the outside, but, you know, right. Ask people, you know, it's very simple. How many people are looking happy, but they're not, you know, right now, people are listening to us. I mean, you kind of discovered a couple of things just by doing that exercise, but the fact is those are real. Many people don't have no clue. If you see me right now, you wouldn't know unless you do an assessment. You're not going to know. Maybe you ask me questions. Maybe you'll find it from my tone. Maybe you see it from my face, but the fact is no one's going to know. I can really have a nice poker face and have a smile. And a lot of people do that. You know, they're walking with a smile, but they are suffering, right? And that's a problem sometimes, you know, until they burst and then there's bad ramifications, stress, other things, you know, now you get disease.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, well, and you it's know, real.
And it is real. And, you know, I kind of want to say sometimes it's just our culture that is allowed, that has created that. Because people just don't feel safe being themselves and they have to be something else in order to fit in. So, I mean, there's a lot of that going on too. And of course, that was more the way it was in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. But the thing is, it's like it's still a carryover and people are still, you know, feeling like there's something wrong with them if they're not perfect.
What is perfect? That's the question.
It's just like, no,
what is perfect?
I laugh because I have a TV, a radio show and podcast. And I had a show last week on help making, you know, being perfect is ruining my life. That was the topic of the show. It was awesome.
but doctor, you know, people say the word perfect, but there is no perfection. Perfection is what you make. You know, I'm perfect the way I am. You're perfect the way you are.
Absolutely,
I mean, you're supposed to believe in that. But what does that mean? You see, it's not a cookie cutter. It's not that we're the same.
No,
it's your perfection. You make it your way. And yes, it's flawed to someone, but it's perfect to you. And that's how you got to look at it. If you, and I live in that world. Like, you know, I try to believe that the world is nicer. I try to keep the positive, you know, outlook on everything. I mean, do I get mad sometimes? Of course, like, I'm a human. You get but it's the matter. Like, you want to be 99% on this side, and maybe every time you get that 1%, you push it away and you try to, you know, your strength are going to take over, and you just don't want it to get, you know, to the majority on the negative side. You want the majority to be on the positive side to take over. And you got to balance it out, but it is a real thing. And we are in control of that, believe it or not.
Absolutely.
It's how we see things.
Well, the other thing too, is like, I always, like when I go into surgeries and stuff like that, especially if I'm working with challenging surgeons, I announce to the room, I said, I'm going to have a great day today. And I do. So I set the tone for the room, because it's just like, I don't care what he's going to be experiencing. I'm going to have an awesome day.
Well, you know, and by the way, that's contagious. That's the so talking about energy.
That's if why you, I do that.
You walk in a room, it doesn't fail. It happens if you're in a, I don't know, you get into a plane, a vehicle, someone, mm-hmm. you know, and you have someone that the vibe is really off. It's real. And then on the opposite, it's like someone looks at you, you just want to smile at them, because they just looking at them, you feel like you want to smile and have a good time. It's just the way it is. Like, some people project that and you can sense it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I think this is a great experiment for people in the audience to try. You know, when you're walking down the street, just smile. Just smile. Because it's going to be a whole different world for you when you do that.
And if you doubt it, does everybody good.
It does. It's just like, you know, you'd be surprised. When people see you and you're smiling, they will smile back at you. So that's such a simple thing to do, but it's spreading such great juju, you know, it's great energy. It's like, it's a very simple thing.
It does. And you know, you walk in a room, people will feel that energy.
They do.
Good or bad. Good or bad. Mm-hmm. So it depends on, and it's challenging.
Yes. And the thing is, it's like, I laugh because sometimes, you know, we work with different people, and some people are, I always say, people are awake, awakening, or still asleep. When you have the ones that are still asleep, it's like, you don't know which version you're going to get of them when you have to deal with them. So I always joke about it. It's like,
be careful out there.
I'm working with so-and-so today. I said, so which version are we getting? I mean, I joke about it because, I mean, that's what it's like.
But you know? But that is a fact, because we have both sides. We do have both energies. I mean, I like the Star Wars. I'd make fun, you know, of, like, so I like to throw in things from movies. But like Star Wars, right? We got the Force.
Yeah.
The Sith, you know, the dark force, right? The dark side, you know, and you know, it kind of, you know, it's all forces. It's just one versus the other, right? And you can choose to be in the force and having the positive, or you can be on the dark side. And all of us are capable of being bad. That I think, you know, everybody can turn in a split and snap, right? But if we, I guess, exercise enough positivity and work ourselves way positive, you know, then that kind of takes over. And then you will be not so much in that side, on the dark side. But if you can let it get in and sink in and seep in, eventually it's going to get over and you're taking over and you have the demons take over. You know,
you know what? We're humans. So that's part of our experience too, yeah, you know? Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, there's some stuff that's happened for me recently where it's just like the dark side kind of came out, and, you know, it kind of came out of, it's really kind of weird because it kind of comes out of nowhere. And you're like, you know, it's just like when it happens, it kind of startles you. So everybody has that, you know, capability within them, even people who work on themselves and, you know, are, you know, teaching personal development. It's like, we're all human. This is going to happen. You know, there's no bypass from that. It's just part of the experience of being here. Remember, you're getting your PhD in being human.
Listen, and we that's one thing you don't finish right away. That finishes when you finish.
That's right. It's just like when you're done on this earth plane, you're done. And some people finish early. Good for them.
Well, that's true. Well, you know, it's amazing. You said something that, you know, things happen to us. We can turn, right? But if even the guys, you know, the people that actually work on themselves, you know, so, but if you work on yourself enough, you'll probably have lesser of an incidence as opposed to if you don't, because you'll be a lot easier. You'll be a prey.
Absolutely. Because you will be more aware of these things happening. And it's like, oh, it's just like you'll gain the wisdom quicker. And, you know, it's like all of us, I know I'm humbled every day. And it's like, it's for me, it's about remaining teachable, because you're going to be learning your whole entire incarnation, you know, this lifetime and beyond as well. But it's just like, I don't know all the answers. Trust me. I learn something new every day. It's just like, it's mind boggling, you know?
Well, in fact, I just learned a few things, and everybody that's watching right now has learned a few things. And every day you're going to meet someone, you're going to learn more things. And you can never stop learning. By the way, anyone that thinks that they've learned everything, they just have to, they're going to learn that they haven't learned anything.
The universe has a way of kind of coming full circle.
Exactly. And it's a fact, you know, there's always someone smarter. There's always something more to come on. And that's progress too. Like, you know, things are happening every day. We're evolving, as you said, into technology and things like that. And you got to catch up. And so whatever you know today may not be, it will be like obsolete in a couple of years. I mean, look at the technology we have today versus 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
Oh my God.
30 years ago, no internet, right? So,
oh my God, isn't that funny? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, we lived through that. That's just the craziest thing. And, you know, now when it goes down, we like freak out.
No Wi-Fi, my kids go nuts.
I know. It's just like, this is crazy. I mean, we've witnessed so much change in such a short period of time in our lifetime that, you know, I'm excited to see what's to come, because it's going to be so fascinating. And I know from being in the healthcare industry, especially in surgery, I mean, 40 years ago, we would open people from stem to stern, basically. It was all open procedures. Then we graduated to minimally invasive and laparoscopic. And now we're doing robotic stuff. And, you know, it's just, to me, it's mind boggling that, you know, I get to witness this and I get to play with this stuff too, which is even better. But
well, listen, I mean, it's a tough job you're doing. I mean, being in a surgery room and seeing people, you know, just laying down, and you guys are literally touching everything to fix things. I mean, obviously, if they're not open, it's, you know, just the areas, but right. It's still high stuff. I mean, it's pretty.
Oh, absolutely.
Know, as you said, it's humbling, you know, it's powerful. Well, so yeah. Doc, how do we integrate, you know,
integrate the
words, both words, like, you know, the physical with the spiritual, and make it a very easy transition for audiences? Because I think all this discussion, people are probably like, okay, well, how am I going to do this?
Well, you know what? This is the best thing I could tell people, is that the best way to integrate that or bridge the two worlds together is to do mindful activity. Okay. Now, mindful activity, let's just talk about that. That could be anything from going out in nature. It could be as formal as doing meditation or journaling or anything creative. Basically, what mindful activity is anything that you do that allows you to lose all sense of time and space. And we've had all those moments, conversation with somebody for hours, and it feels like 5 minutes have just gone by, but it's been hours. So it's like where you lose all sense of time, because what happens is that allows you to be in the present moment in your body. And that's what it's all about. The more people could do that, the better off they're going to be. So that's when they're going to be able to tap into that inner wisdom that is theirs, because you have to still yourself down a bit. You can't be moving all over the place. It's like being fully present, taking deep breaths. If they have a nice pet that's their favorite pet or something, you know, when you pet them, it's like you lose all sense of time and place. It's like you're in the present moment. Like, so doing things like that. You have one of those?
He's sleeping across behind the teleprompter, literally.
Is it a dog?
No, a cat.
Oh, really? I have one too. What's the kitty's name?
Simba.
Love it.
He's chilling right now. So
there you go. He's part of the show. But yes. So, you know, when you're able to access that and just be in the present moment. For some people, you know, when we look at our grandparents and great grandparents generation, the women used to do like crafts. They used to knit or tat or embroider. That was a mindful activity because that kept them in the present moment. It was like right here, right now. So anything that allows you to do that. For some people, it might be doing a sports activity. For some people, for me, sometimes going on a long road trip where you're driving, to me, that's a mindful activity. So, you know, you explore what's going to resonate with you and how that's going to work for you.
Excellent. Well, so Doc, I couldn't help notice help behind you and one of the books.
Yes.
So those are your books?
Those are my books.
All right, let's quickly touch on those. Help.
So help, how do I get the most out of my healthcare experience? And I wrote that probably about 6-7 years ago, after my parents have both deceased, but I used to coach them from a distance, 3,000 miles away, to, you know, do what they need to do. So teaching people how to advocate for their own healthcare. And, you know, I talked about everything from picking out your doctor to, you know, having had surgery or making some other, you know, advanced directives and everything else. So they kind of know more about that. Because I think what happens in healthcare is it's very confusing. So confusing. There's so many hoops to jump through. I just went through the whole Medicare and getting onto Medicare. That was an interesting thing. And I'm in healthcare and it was confusing.
You didn't know me then. I could have helped you through it.
There you go.
That's what I do.
Yeah, there you go. And then the other one, Spiritual Wellness for Life. It's stories from my personal and professional life that have what I call one of those God moments where divine intervention kind of comes in. And, you know, it's like it transpires the physical and kind of involves, like, you know, the spiritual, where information comes through and you get these messages. And the last one is my recent one that was published a couple years ago. It's called Your Itty Bitty Book on Healing in Ways You Never Thought Possible. It's 15 Key Steps to Manifesting True Health and Lasting Wellness. And it's a very short read, and it's a great pocketbook because you could keep it in your pocketbook or your briefcase. But it's like one of those books that you just open up and you get information.
Very nice. And you said you have a podcast too.
I do. I have a TV, radio show and podcast on Inspired Choices Network. And we broadcast over internationally to over 300 different platforms. And my show goes live every Wednesday, 12 noon Pacific Standard Time. And I teach people and talk about how people could take their power back and become more in tune to tapping into their inner wisdom and their higher self. So that's what we talk about.
Very nice. All right. Well, and is there a website anywhere where people can connect with you?
They could go to my website. It's drdoloresfazzino.com. DOLORES, F as in Frank, AZZ as in zebra, INO.com. And I'm going to be starting a program, a virtual program launching in August called I'm Awake. Now what? And we're going to have conscious business hours, 1.5 hours a month. And it's a membership type of thing where people who are transitioning and going through, they've woken up, but they don't have a reference point or kind of lost and are not, are feeling alone and feeling like they're, you know, not able to maneuver. Don't really know what to do next. It's about teaching people how to reacquaint themselves with themselves so they have a relationship with themselves. So that's the whole goal of that. So that'll be coming in August.
Well, congrats on that. And you know, it's funny that you talked about people who just are awake now. And again, that goes back to that red pill in the Matrix. They got the red pill. They're awake. Now they got to figure out what this whole new world is.
Exactly. Well, you know what? The external world, they're figuring out what the internal world's all about.
Well, it's amazing. Yeah. It is amazing. And I mean, it's a different world, really. But the more you deep dive into it, the easier it gets. I mean, you just got to be aware.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the beauty of going to that space, it's like being able to have that deep serenity and certainty when there's so much uncertainty circling around you. You know, there's something about that that's just so grounding, and being just present right here, right now.
Doctor, the hour went by so fast. We've exceeded it. I had so much fun, and you know, we could use another hour. Literally, you know, I mean, you're full of great information and insights in touching on the realm of reality that sometimes we are not, you know, in sync with. I would say, because it is there, we have it. We just got to synchronize ourselves in that frequency to actually be there, but it takes a little bit of awakening. Sometimes maybe someone hears this and they're like, oh, makes sense. Or maybe and sometimes people can hear this and they may be like, oh, this is not something I don't believe in this, whatever. But again, like I always say to people, you don't have to take anything. You hear it, you make whatever outcome out of it that you want. But hopefully it's a good outcome, and whatever that'll come to you. What's good for you may not be good for someone else, but absolutely, let's hope that we all have the same outcomes, you know, that are positive. That's all.
That's it. That's, you know, there's many ways to get there.
You know, the old saying, right? All roads lead to Rome.
Yep.
You know, doesn't matter. Just get there, right? So
that's it's right. It's just like, you know what? Everybody's going to be on their own journey and they're going to get to the end. It's the journey, not the destination. But the thing is, a lot of us have the same destination. Our journeys are going to be different. So.
Well, that's true. And then that's a fact of life. I mean, we all know what our destination is, and it's just how we get there. I mean, even like we struggle. Sometimes you struggle for nothing. I mean, that's the thing. I think we stress over things that if it's not, and I believe in this personally, if it's not meant for you, it's not going to happen. There is no such thing as a bad time. There's always a good time for everything, and it's only going to happen when the time is right and when it's ready. And you can, but you still have to take action. You still have to do your part of it, and that's all there is.
Well, then the other thing too, I think people need to realize is this: you may have these dreams and desires, and it's not on your timeline, because a lot of times there's things going on behind the scenes that we don't have privy to seeing. Because they're energetically, and it's like other things need to come into play before this could actually happen. And sometimes it's really challenging to have patience. Trust me, I should do a show on patience.
Well, it is a powerful thing, and you're right. I mean, I tell you this, I had stated this in the previous show where like 5 years, 6 years ago, I couldn't have done what I'm doing today.
Yeah.
The reason I'm doing what I can do to what I'm doing today is because now I can, because I've learned enough. There's a few things that had to come up, you know, and be in place for me to be able to do this. And that's the thing, like you can't do certain things until you have other things in place. And, you know, it's like you have to have not all the pieces, but enough pieces to get started, whatever it is. And then things will start falling apart. Like the whole, like, you know, you can have a puzzle in a box, but you don't have the picture. Until, I mean, you may have the picture on the box, but you can't figure it out until once it's on the table, it's all a mess, right? But you got to start putting them together, and then the picture gets clearer and clearer as you want. But the fact is, same thing with this, right? Life is going to have a lot of pieces, and you got to grab from left, right, you know, move here a little time later. And then the picture gets clearer and clearer and better, and wow, okay, now I know.
And you know what? I think I know and feel the other thing is important too, is just trust the process. You know, many of us just think we have to figure it out. There's nothing to figure out. Sometimes it's just having blind faith and trust, and just trust and trust the universe, because it always has your back. You know, even when you don't think that happens, they always have your back. I'm just going to share this one story because I think people will get a chuckle out of this. I was going through a bump in the road probably in 2010, a personal thing where I kept asking for stuff and asking the universe. And it's just like, I finally was screaming to the heavens, "Are you guys listening to me?" And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye in my kitchen, I see something drop from the sky onto the pavement outside the window. And I'm like, I sheepishly went out there with a stick and I'm poking. It wasn't just a feather. It was a whole bloody raven's wing that fell from the sky. No trees above, no power lines, no nothing, no roof. Plump down. And I'm like poking at it. And so I sheepishly come back in and I hear all this laughter from, you know, the higher realms. They're laughing at me. Okay, I understand now. You're listening. You hear me. So they gave me the message. But, you know, I needed a big demonstration. I kept that thing for 5 years until it deteriorated. But it was a huge lesson for me.
Well, you know, this happens to everyone. I mean, yes. You know, sometimes it happens immediately. Sometimes it takes time. I mean, the response doesn't have to be immediate. But, you know, again, there is a divine plan. That's all, yeah, there is.
I agree.
And we can plan, but the divine plan is better. So
that's right. We have the blinders on. And we're only seeing one possibility where, you know what, when you take those blinders off, there's infinite possibilities. So you just don't know. Sometimes you just have to get out of your own way. You know, it's like, get out of here and come back into here, out of your head, into your heart, into your body, be in present moment.
Well, so doctor, quickly, I mean, I know you're talking spirituality, but now, how does that work in the realm of religion? Because religion is spirituality in a way, but it's confined to a different thing. Yeah, it gets a little tricky.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because, yes, they're two separate concepts. Religion is more of an external relationship with an organization with a religion, an external, okay? Whereas spirituality is more of an internal relationship with your higher self. So it's more of an internal thing, the spirituality versus they're being religious. So I find it kind of interesting when people mesh the two together because they're distinctively different. I know some of the most spiritual people are not religious at all, okay? And I know some of the most religious people are not spiritual at all. And I think we've all witnessed both sides of that. So when you blend the two together, I think this is where you are having an external and an internal relationship with the divine or whatever you believe in.
Well, that's the ideal scenario, is to have both,
it
I guess.
It is the ideal. Does that really happen? Well, I don't know about that, but we're not going to talk religion or politics.
Oh, so. Yeah. Well, no, the reason I asked that, because, you know, we've talked about spirituality, but people always kind of confuse those two or... It, I think that, you know, one, I mean, they could overlap, as you said, but it's just like, it depends on the individual person, how they can connect the dots and see it on, but you're right. There's a little of an extreme on both sides and that can go either way. But it is, in a way, I still believe any religious belief or spiritual belief is better than no belief.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's important to believe in something. Even if you're an atheist, you're still believing in something. That's, you know, but anyway.
I'm saying, there is always, like, you believe in something, whatever that is.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, I mean, you've seen enough surgeries. You've seen enough people coming in, going in and asking, you know, for coming out, you know, in a better place, in a better light, right? It's just the way it is. We're all human. No matter who we are, there's a point when you feel like, I need to ask, you know, favors here. You know, I need some divine intervention.
Well, you know, the other thing we have to remember too, bar any religion or any, you know, spirituality, it's like our invisible, I'm going to say invisible, the saints, the ascended masters, whatever you believe in, are there to help us. We forget to ask for help because of free will, they're not allowed to intervene on our behalf because we come to earth to learn about free will. So the thing is, a lot of times many of us feel like we're the lone rangers and we have to do everything by ourselves. So I invite people to connect with who they resonate with. You know, if it's Jesus, Buddha, you know, a saint, an ascended master, you know, Saint Michael or whatever, just ask them to come and assist you. You'd be surprised. They will. We have to ask. They're there for us. They want to help. They can't intervene unless we ask. So ask away.
Well, so that goes for asking help in general. I mean, really, even humans, you need something. You're not alone in this world. We can ask for help. I mean, any little help can help.
And it's just like, it's just sometimes it's just a pat on the shoulder or a smile. That's enough to shift somebody. People don't realize that, that simplicity has so much power.
Smile is a form of charity. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. Give it away. It's free. It doesn't cost much. I mean, it's simple, right? I mean, like, it's not a big concept, but people sometimes hold that like just for the... By the way, I think scientifically speaking, when you frown, you use more muscles than when you smile, right? I mean...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It ages you too. So who wants to?
Yeah. So keep those smiles up and running at all times and in the face, even if they fake, they eventually get real. Just keep do this. Like, I hate you guys, but hey, and the next thing you'll be like, I don't hate you guys. I just love you. And things will change eventually. Right. So again, you start believing, right? Yep, well, listen, exactly. Doctor, this was fun. I'm sorry, I kind of went back in and asked that question, but
that's okay, Hurricane. I appreciate that.
It came back to me, so I needed to get to do it because I know someone's going to ask the question eventually.
It's perfect. It's perfect, and I think it's an important question to ask, and I hope I explained it well enough for people too.
So. You did. I mean, it's as clear as what it is, and obviously people have their own way of looking at things and taking information, but hey. We only give information. People do whatever they want with it. And that's all we can do, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, this is the end. Thank you so much, Doctor, for being with us. And I had so much fun here. So thank you.
Thank you, Hurricane. I appreciate it. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. Thank you. And folks, hey, hope you enjoyed the show. So do check out the links to Dr. Fazzino on the description of the show. And that's about it for me. I'm Hurricane H. We'll be talking soon. New day, new show, new topic. Bye.